I want us to talk about being thankful today. Now, you sort of expected that with Thanksgiving coming up, right? I'm not talking about the phony stuff. Thursday, you look at everybody and say, oh, I'm so thankful for each of you. I am so thankful we're all together. Hasn't 2022 been a wonderful year? We have so much to be thankful for. Listen, so often we act phony when it comes to being thankful. God doesn't ask us to be phony. A verse that I want to start off with, the Apostle Paul writing, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And there's a big difference in small words. God asks us to be thankful in, not for. Stop thinking you have to be thankful for the painful stuff in your life. God doesn't want you to be thankful for the cancer, for the divorce, for the illness, for the mental illness. He's not asking you to put a plastic smile on your face and say, oh, I'm so thankful for it. God doesn't want us to be fake, which is why God says, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to be thankful. But I want you to be thankful in the hard place, not for it. Huge difference. Huge difference. What I want to talk to you about today is being thankful in the storm. Not for it. In it. I want to use that picture as the backdrop today because I think it signifies how so many of us feel the last year, two or three. We're walking through a storm alone. And a storm doesn't stop. God doesn't ask me to be thankful for the storm. He asked me to be thankful in it. Why? Well, because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. So whether you feel God's presence or not, he's close. When you're brokenhearted, he's closer than he ever is. You know, my wife and I have been together for a number of years, and she always says to me, she was in first service, so I can speak freely now. She's gone. Kelly is someone who is, like, totally in touch with her emotions, and she knows what she's feeling, and she'll look at me, and she'll ask me something like, Rob, what are you feeling? And I'll say, I don't know. She'll say, how can you not know? And I'll say, Kelly, I'm a guy, and a lot of guys are like that. And so when Kelly shares something with me, she's struggling, or she didn't like what I did here, or how I handled this situation, my tendency is to pull back. And you know what Kelly always says to me? Don't pull back. Move towards me, she says. She's been saying that for 40 years. I am not kidding you. And when I read this verse, I hear my wife's voice in my ears. When we complain, when we tell God we're upset, God doesn't move away. He moves towards us. How beautiful is that? That's a reason to be thankful in your storm. Another reason, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. The Bible doesn't say everything in your life that's chaotic, that's painful, is good. It doesn't say that. I hear people tell me, oh, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Oh, but it's good. It's good. Now listen. It's okay to say the diagnosis is not good. The divorce is not good. The addiction is not good. The bankruptcy is not good. It's okay. What God's saying is he will work to make it good. I can be thankful because God doesn't pull away. And I can be thankful that God sees the mess that I made. I made it. And instead of pulling away, God says, hey, Rob, I'll work it out for good if you let me. I can be thankful for that. And so can you. Yeah, but Pastor Rob, I don't see any good whatsoever because God's not done yet. If you don't see good, God's not done. I can be thankful for the storm I'm in because God promises to work through it to bring about good. When we kicked off this series in James, I covered these verses, and I want to circle back to them. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote, when troubles of any kind, whatever you're struggling with, this verse covers it. Something physical, something emotional, something mental, something spiritual. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, James says, when trouble of any kind come, consider an opportunity for what? Great joy, not just joy, great joy. Like Eagles winning the Super Bowl, joy. Right? That's what James is saying. We ought to be that excited when trouble comes, when a storm comes. Why? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Then four words that I love and four words that I hate simultaneously. So let it grow, the Bible says. Why can I be thankful for the storm I'm in? Because when it seemingly doesn't end, God's promise for me is, Rob, see it as an opportunity for great joy. Why? Because he's building endurance in me, spiritual endurance. That stability, that stamina to keep going. See, we all know people that we look at and say, man, where did he get that strength from? Where's their stability come from? Life keeps throwing all sorts of things at them. They keep getting up. They keep moving forward. They still have a smile on their face. How do they do that? That's endurance. That's what God's building. And we try to get out of the storm because we don't like the storm. And God's like, no, Rob, don't stay there. I'm working for good and I'm building endurance. So let it grow. That storm in your life that you were sure was going to be over by the time we got to this point in the year, James says, stay in it. Don't numb it. Don't hide it. Don't pretend it isn't there. See, we do a great job as that as people. We don't talk about our problems. We don't even want to think about the struggles. And James is saying, no, embrace it. Embrace it. Own it. What is the stuff in your life that you don't talk about? The stuff that you don't want anybody else to know. And James is saying, hey, you want to grow spiritually? You know how cool God is? God doesn't run from you when you're in a mess. He wants you to embrace it, and he's going to use it for your good, and he's going to build spiritual endurance in you. That is a reason I can be thankful. Another reason. Jesus taught us when he was in the garden about to face the crucifixion. He prayed that God the Father would deliver him from it. But he said, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. This is a hard one for us. We say, well, Jesus prayed it because he's the Son of God, and he's got the faith to pray that. I don't have Jesus' faith. So if I were to say to God, God, I really want you to do this, but not my will, but yours be done, God's going to know I don't mean it. So we don't say it. And I'm reminded of a story in the Bible where a dad came to Jesus and his son was so sick, he was about to die. And he makes his way to Jesus, and in desperation, he asks Jesus, will you please heal my son? And Jesus asks, Dad, do you believe that I can heal him? And Dad says, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's us. Do we believe God's working for good in our storm? Yep. Help our unbelief. Do we believe that God's got a plan to somehow bring something beautiful out of this mess that I've been dealing with for years? I believe. Help my unbelief. See, Jesus doesn't ask me for perfect faith. God wants me to give him the faith that I have. Do you have 1% faith? 99% doubt, 1% faith. Give it to God and say, God, you know what I want, yet not my will, but yours be done. And God wants my heart to be obedient to him. And when he sees that, he works. He doesn't ask me to have perfect faith. So here's what I want to do. Can we make this super practical now? I want you to leave today with a homework assignment for Thanksgiving week. As we were going through the series in James, we looked at this verse. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of what? Great endurance. See, chapter 1 says God wants to build endurance. At the end of the book, James says Job had great endurance. Woo, so Job must be like special, right? Job must be like super spiritual Jesus level stuff. And we look at that, we say, well, I can never do that. So I'm just going to keep complaining as I go through life. I can't do what Job did. Okay, let's take a look. Job is commended here. Job is given great honor. Job is called a man of great endurance. What did Job do? Job said, now Job's the guy who lost everything except his wife, his kids, their spouses, their kids, all killed. All his possessions gone. Livestock gone. Crops gone. Money gone. He's covered with boils. He's covered with illness. He's sick. He has no idea why this is happening. None. And Job in chapter 1 says, the Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! That is super spiritual Job. We're like, oh, I could never say that. Can I show you what else Job said? Let the day of my birth be cursed. Let that day be forever forgotten. Let it be lost even to God. That's out of chapter 3. For all of us who are in a storm this week, I invite you to read chapter 3 of Job. Super spiritual endurance man Job, that is commended in the book of James in the New Testament. Listen to what Job said. It says, Job spoke, and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived, Let that day be turned to darkness. Let it be lost even to God. Let no light shine on it. Let the darkness and utter gloom claim that day for its own. Let a black cloud overshadow it. Let darkness terrify it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear in the months. Let that night be childless. Let there be no joy. Let those who are experts at cursing curse that day. He doesn't just say, hey, you know what? Let people curse my birthday. No, he says, I want the expert cursers. Woo! He's calling for the big shot cursers. And he's saying, those are the ones that I want to curse my birthday. That's Job. That's super spiritual Job. Why wasn't I born dead? He asks God. Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me? Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. That's Job. Job, who James commends for having great endurance. Job, who James commends for suffering well. Can I encourage us all to be real like Job this week, in all honesty? My challenge to all of us is to be real with God. Job's example, start by acknowledging God's position and authority in your life. Listen, you're in a storm, you don't like it, but you acknowledge that God has power in your life. So we start there. I'm going to encourage all of you at some point today, this week, before Thanksgiving, write out a statement where you say, God, I don't like the storm I'm in, but I acknowledge your position. I acknowledge your authority in my life. I want to share what I wrote. God, I acknowledge you are sovereign, and I submit to your loving authority in my life. You are good, and you've been good to my wife and kids and me. I mean every word of that. What would you write to God? Like Job starts off and say, I acknowledge your authority. Write out a statement. Then, in total honesty, tell God how you really feel. I'm talking about Job chapter 3 stuff. And I encourage you to write it out. I wrote mine out, and the only reason I share this with you is because I know God very clearly said, Robert, I want you to share it with Bethel. Here's my complaint that I lobbied to God. I'm weary, God. I'm crushed, depleted from dealing with the brokenness in my family at large. God, I really didn't think it could become more painful, but it has. God, you know that a strong and loving family is something I always wanted, something I longed for from my earliest memories. And I think you're the one who put that desire in me, which is why it hurts so much as my family at large implodes. God, honestly, I'm numb, defeated, and depleted. Where are you, God? What would your complaint sound like? I encourage you this week to do what Job did. Praise God and then give him your complaint. In the verse we started with, to be thankful in all things, come up with some reasons why you're thankful in the storm. Pray God gives you spiritual eyes to see what he's doing that you can be thankful for. Here's some of what I wrote. I'm thankful for how God has used it to forge a stronger relationship between Kelly, my kids, my brother Eddie, my sister-in-law Omega, and me. I'm thankful for the deeper friendships God's brought for Kelly and me through this. I'm thankful for God using this mess to grow my spiritual endurance and using it to teach me about myself as I continue meeting with my counselor. That's what I'm thankful for in the storm. Am I thankful for the storm? No. Do I wish the ending was different? Yep. But I can be thankful in it because God's working. Hey, I encourage you to do the same thing this week as you approach Thanksgiving. Just be honest with God. God wants us to be transparent with him. And when we are, it's amazing what he can do. And then the Bible says this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? Wonderful things as what? God loves us. God never runs from us when we get in a mess that we created. He moves towards us. God promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. God promises to continue working things for the good of us who love him. He's not put off by our messes. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Friday night, as Pastor Melissa was teaching, she shared about her own cancer diagnosis and how she battled with God through all of it. And she made a statement that hit me in such a profound way. And she said she came to a point in her dialogue with God that she realized that if God did nothing for her, nothing else for her, nothing about the cancer, nothing about anything else, he was still good because he saved her. Man, that hit me. We don't thank God enough that he gave his son to save us from our sin. And if God does nothing to fix my family brokenness, he's still good just for that. That is a reason I can praise him. That's a reason I can be thankful. Where would any of us be apart from Jesus loving us so much that he gave himself on the cross for us? Hey, on your way in, you were given the elements for communion. I'm going to ask you to take it, to take the bread that signifies the body of Jesus that was broken for us. I'm going to ask that you take it and eat it. And do so in remembrance of what Jesus did for you on a cross. Take it and eat it, please. The juice in the cup signifies the blood that Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sin. I want to ask that you take it and drink it in remembrance of the blood that Jesus willingly shed for your forgiveness. Take it and drink it, please. We're going to pray. We're going to sing one more song, then I'll come up and close us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder today that you love us, that you're working things for our good in our storms, that we can be thankful in the hard place, not for it. Thank you that we could be like Job. We praise you for who you are, but we honestly share our complaints with you. Because life is hard. Thank you that Jesus came and died for us. And because of that, we have the forgiveness of sin. You truly are a good God. And we praise you for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.